All right, I want to start reading at Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, to faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God. All right, now we're calling this, we're teaching on the idea of possessing our inheritance, and that's a series, but we're teaching specifically again on all things are yours. That's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. All things are yours. All right, let's come back again and maybe make sure we establish our platform for this message being effective to those who hear it. This is talking about Abraham and his inheriting the world and being an heir of the world, but not only for Abraham, but Abraham and his seed. And it says in verse 16, therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham. And the faith of Abraham we're talking about is that faith, that God kind of faith that we're going to be discussing. Because that's the end of this particular teaching, meaning that that's where I want to go to. That's the objective of this teaching, to establish within every believer that hears this teaching the faith of Abraham. Because if you have that kind of faith, you have the same faith that God has when he created the world. And if you know how to use that kind of faith, you become totally independent of this system. And invincible in God's eyes and in the eyes of those who would see you. But it's a place where all of us want to be. We want to be strong in faith. All right, so he said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, this is what God does. This is how God functions. He calls things that be not as though they were. If you know anything about God and how he functioned, everything he did with words. And he is teaching Abram how to operate basically that way. Now, as we look at this, we talk about, in bringing this up to date, we talked about the church. Now, what we did is we looked back and looked at Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We saw where these 12 spies were sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. And when they came back, 10 of them had an evil report. And when they had this report was about the giants and how tall they were and mighty and the walls and how indestructible the walls are and so forth like that. But if we look at the church, what we said about the church is that the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. And we gave you a scripture for that. So let's go back to this scripture. Let's go to Joel, J-O-E-L, and Joel chapter 2, please. That says the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And Joel chapter 2, it's for the book of Amos. Joel chapter 2. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Joel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in a holy mountain, my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now this day of the Lord that cometh is the second coming of Christ. It's called the Advent, the second coming of Christ. And this day of the Lord is coming, it's nigh at hand. And it goes on to say, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So there's never been anything like you, and never be anything like you after you leave here, because you are it. And the church, we said, is the most powerful institution in the world ever. There's nothing like you. And this is something that you cannot even catch with your natural mind. That this is something that you have to receive by revelation knowledge. Because in this, we're talking about all things are possible. Going down here and look at this. And look at him still talking about the church now. Verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. We're going to love one another. And they shall walk everyone in his paths. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. So what we said is that the church is indestructible, invincible, and unstoppable. Indestructible, invincible, and unstoppable. All right, now what's been preached? We said that what's been preached is the gospel, but pretty much the gospel of salvation. And that has to do with people getting born again. I don't know about you, but when I was brought up in that church down in Alabama, when I was a kid, I never heard anybody talk about the church was invincible, indestructible, and unstoppable. I never heard anybody tell me that the church was the strongest institution in the world ever. Now, I did hear a lot about we going through and you know, we gonna get all of ours in the suite by and by. Come on now. Now, I wanted mine in this nasty here and now. I didn't want it. I needed some help right now. I needed that car to run right now. So in this, there's been a gospel of salvation that's been preached. And it has to do with being born again, and that's fine. And that's a gospel that focuses on the afterlife. Where are we going to be when we get done out of here? And it's, you know, a lot of that's been used to control and help people to live right. And that's fine. But there's a wider scope for the gospel. And it's a gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel of the kingdom focuses in on what's going to happen right now. It focuses in on changing this planet to line up with the divine plan of God. It focuses in on bringing heaven to earth instead of so much working on us going to heaven. Because if you read Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are already seated there with him in heavenly places. So I'm not working on heaven, I'm already there. And also, when you're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, you're talking about nations and cities being transformed. I'm talking about some of the things that might be going on in the cities, the crime, the kinds of things that have been happening in divorce rates and so forth. Transformation takes place, and that is changing people's thinking, bringing in the principles of another government, a government that has love and peace and joy and so forth and so on. So now when I look at this, all of a sudden, I'm seeing this kingdom here and what it represents, and this is what Jesus preached about. Let's go over to Matthew's gospel and Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew's gospel and chapter 4. And let me know when you get there. All right, now, in Matthew's gospel chapter 4, you see here in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what gospel did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy. And what did he do to them? He healed them. Now, I want you to see this, because, again, the gospel of the kingdom is more than getting to heaven when you die, but it's bringing heaven to earth. And if you look at this representation that we have here, that's exactly what you're seeing. If you know anything about heaven and read over in Revelation and talk about heaven and talk about what's there, there's no crying there, no sadness there. There's no sickness and disease there. There's no oppression there. There's only freedom there. There's no poverty there. There's no lack there. If you go and look at the roads are gold. And if you go and look at the gates are pearls. And if you look at the walls are built out of diamonds and emeralds and so forth like that. So there's a beauty in heaven. There's a freedom in heaven. There's health in heaven. There's wealth in heaven. There's joy in heaven. There's peace in heaven. There's love in heaven. Now notice what he says over here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, we pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, keep going, thy will be done where? In earth as it is where? In heaven. So God's will for earth is to be like what? Like heaven. Now let me ask you, was this what Jesus was doing? He was manifesting heaven on earth. He was manifesting heaven on earth. Now, my point to you is that he was doing the things and making this planet like heaven. If you went in the Garden of Eden, when Eve and Adam were there before the sin, the Garden of Eden was a duplicate of heaven. It was showing you it was heaven come to earth. But God only built one spot, and he was going to have Adam and Eve to take it and duplicate this, replicate it throughout the earth. That was part of their assignment. So this abundance, this peace, this joy, this health, this no oppression, no lying, no stealing, so forth, all this was going to be in those environments. So now, as you look at this, the problem that the believer has in this particular case is that heaven is lavish. Heaven is lavish. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I'm only preaching the gospel. Because, see, this is what the people were supposed to preach who came back from spying out Canaan. You see, they came from Egypt. That's slavery. They came from doing the will of their master. That's where they came from. Then they came and got into to the wilderness. Well, the wilderness was supposed to, that was the transition place. It was a place where they were supposed to let go of their old thinking and adopt the new thinking so that they could go into the promised land. And the new thinking was not just thoughts, it was a paradigm shift. It was to see things totally a different way. And God was trying to help them to do that. So now they're going to go into Canaan. But before they went in there, they sent spies in there. Well, what did Canaan represent? It represented the best. So what did the wilderness represent? It didn't represent the best, because Canaan represented the best. And God brought back, had them, they brought back some fruit to show how lavish this land was. And the fruit, the grapes, were as big as grapefruits. And two men had to bear them on a staff to bring them back. My point to you is they began to talk about the good land. But then they began to talk about the giants that were on the land, that they are mightier than we are, and the walls are very great, and so forth and so on. Now understand, God never intended for them to take that land without his help. He never intended for them to do that, because faith connects you up with the anointing of God. Okay, so notice this whole idea of lavish is something that some people really have a problem with, and they have a problem with it because of the same reason they had a problem with it back then, that the enemy doesn't want you to get a hold of the real estate. Now, I want to show you this because I want to take you all through it. When we're talking about actually the church and the business of saving souls, thank God for it. But that's only one part of it. Let's go to Psalm chapter 2, please. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Let me know when you get there to Psalm chapter 2, please. All right, you're there. All right. Now, over in Psalm chapter 2, glory to God, look at verse 6. I'll start there. Now, this Psalm chapter 2 and verse 6 is really talking about Jesus went and paid the price for everybody. And once he paid the price, he then was raised from the dead. And this is God speaking concerning the inheritance of Jesus. Now understand, the promise was for Abraham and his who? Seed. And remember what it said in Galatians chapter 3, and thy seed, which is Christ. But if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what he promised him, he's promising you. All right, so let's look at this. And this is found here in Psalm chapter 2, all right, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, you know that's quoted over in Hebrews chapter 1. Look at the next verse. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the what? Heathen for thine inheritance, keep going, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you the souls. No, he didn't say, I'm just going to give you the souls, because that ain't the deal. I'm going to give you the souls and the property. Amen. And what the church had done religiously is focus on soul. Thank God for that. But this, understand that part of this inheritance is the property. It's the stuff. All things are yours. The enemy knows that Satan uses that. The Bible says the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower, come on, is servant to the lender. He knows that. The Bible says nobody listens to a poor man.
That's right.
Are you with me now? Now, I'm only telling you this because that's part of what's been happening today, is that somehow in the church we have felt that we're supposed to go after some souls, but we're not supposed to go after anything else, because all that other stuff will ruin you. Well, the enemy is using the other stuff to maintain his position on the mountain. Let's go look at that. Go to Luke, please, and Luke chapter 4. Oh, we're going to preach the gospel up in here. Luke chapter 4. All right. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 4. Have you got it? Look at verse 5. Now, this is the devil tempting Jesus. You with me? Verse 5, and the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them. He didn't leave out the glory. I said he didn't leave out the glory. Remember what it said in the Old Testament? The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. Before he talked about glory, he talked about silver and gold. That's part of the glory.
Yeah.
Over in Genesis chapter 31, it said Laban's sons were overheard saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and he has gotten all this glory. In other words, the glory had to do with the heaviness. Lord have mercy.
Come on, Pastor.
All right, now, what I'm saying is this. The stuff comes with it.
Yes. Yes.
Everything comes back. When Abraham went out after Lot, he got the people and the property.
Yes.
See, somehow we come in, but we didn't left the property out there.
Come on, Pastor.
Say amen to this. Are y'all with me? So look what he says here. The devil taketh him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now let's deal with that for just a moment. Kingdoms. Over in Revelation chapter 11, he said the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. That's what it said in Revelation. Now you can call that a prophetic word because that's the way things are going to look. But that is the power of the world to come. And because of faith, we can move the power of the world to come into this time. I'm trying not to get too deep. All right, here are the kingdoms. Here are the kingdoms. You have a kingdom, Media. That's a kingdom. Because in that kingdom, people can control people's thinking. Here's a kingdom, education. Come on now. But as long as Satan controls the top of that mountain, or as long as the devil is the king of the hill, as long as he can recruit people that he can manage and manipulate and put them at the top, then he can take Bibles out of your schools. But for you to get the Bible back into school, you're gonna have to take the kingdom. You're going to have to make the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God, because you're not trying to do away with the kingdom. The pillars that you need media, you need arts and entertainment, you need education, you need the government, you need the politics, you need all of those, because the enemy can't invent anything new. But that's why I showed you over in Proverbs chapter 9. Glory to God. Can I go over there right quick? Turn, put something right there now. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Have you got Proverbs chapter 9 now? Look at verse 1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewed out her how many pillars?
Seven
pillars. It's seven kingdoms. All the way down to the family. That's a kingdom. And as long as the enemy can stay at the top of that kingdom, he can control your family. So all of a sudden, he's at the top of the kingdom and trying to redefine marriage.
Yes.
He's trying to tell you that it wasn't Adam and Eve, it was Adam and Steve. Watch this. And trying to get the political kingdom to make it a law. So what you need to do is dominate.
Yes.
Your job is to go out and every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. If you are in politics, the idea of the church is to raise you up so that you can have an anointing of a politician. And when you go into that political sphere, you're going to operate not with the wisdom of men, but you're going to operate with the wisdom of God. When you open your mouth, no man can gainsay or resist it, and you'll ride to the top of that mountain. Now, this hasn't been preached. I don't care how many degrees they got. They're not going to be able to compete with you, because it's going to be some super on your natural. Come on now, say supernatural. The kingdom of God comes from a Hebrew word, Malchushimai. It means supernatural. You're not from here, folks. I've been born in Mississippi. You've been born again. And when you are born again, you are born from the kingdom of Almighty God. You are something that was never here before, and after you leave, ain't gonna be nothing like you. You have such power resident in you, you can stop a storm. You have such power in you, you can speak to a rock and make it bring out water. You hear what I'm saying? There is so much power in you until your mind cannot even conceive it. Satan is a counterfeiter. He cannot invent anything. He just steals. Just like people steal patents and people steal inventions from other countries and so forth, same thing about the devil. Remember I showed you that time the man wrote a book and said God took him to heaven, showed him all around? He said the only place that was guarded by angels was a place where there are new inventions. Why? Because the enemy knows he can get a new invention, and one invention can make him a billionaire. So that place is guarded. So God tries to give it to his people. Now while it's coming to the earth, his people get so religious. This is the day. Now the invention is hitting them all upside the head. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so forth. Next thing you know, the devil got the invention. And he makes money off of it. And then makes you pay.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. That's right. Folks, I wish I could just outline how many inventions I believe in the spirit have been stolen. Bunch. Oh, he given them to you. We just busy goo-gooing. And, you know. No, it ain't about religion. It's about a government. Let's go back over. Go back over the loop. Y'all flowing with me? Folks, I'm telling you, I remember when I had a Corvette. It was a red Corvette. And I got born again. When I got born, it's a true story. I got born again, had that Corvette. You know, yeah, high compression, it was right. But I got born again. When I got born again, something started talking to me, saying that a born-again man ain't got no business riding around in that kind of car. Now you say, well, now where did that come from? I know where it came from. It came from the devil. But didn't nobody I know talk me anything different? Are you following what I'm saying? So here I was, getting guilty about this Corvette. Because I'm, now see, if I'd known what I know now, I know that God places certain people as race car drivers. See, I didn't know that was a mountain. So what happened? I said, I got to get rid of this car. So I start feeling so guilty about it. I'm saved now. Saved and just loving Jesus. Lord, Lord. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to sell this car. So what did I do? I put that car in the newspaper, put my phone number, and where I was working at IBM at that time, and that phone started ringing off the hook. Why? Because I put the price way down. I mean, I gave it away. And I'm telling you, people calling me from Gary from Indianapolis. Hey, listen, yeah, Bill, I saw your thing in the news. Hold the car, I'll be right there. Now hold it, I got cash, don't let I said, sir, first come, first serve, first, because I just wanted to get rid of it. First come, first serve. Next thing I know, God showed up, got cash, said, can we go? Took him over to the garage. Now understand, in my garage at that time where I was living, it was on the lakefront. It was a three-bedroom condominium building. I mean, they laid in there. It's where folk live who going somewhere. And I'm driving up in my underground garage there. And the guys, the attendants that take the car, I'm driving in. And they say, hey, it's Bill Winston. Well, boy, he's looking good. Boy, look at him. He look good, man. He's a successful businessman. Look at that. Sharp suits and getting out of Corvette. I say, hey, guys, yeah, here, $10. Let's put that over there. I'm coming right back. Hey, big time. So the guy came, bought the car. Got title and so forth, boom, drove out. Next thing I know, another guy drives in. Hey, sir, yeah, I'm coming from Indianapolis. Where's the car? I said, sir, that car just left here. He says, sir, let me tell you something. You gave that car away. Now, what he was telling me, you're the biggest fool I ever seen in my life. That's what he told me. Now, understand, this is the day. Now you better hear me, because when I'm talking like this, I can tell some people in here still don't like the fact that you're supposed to take the real estate too. See, that's why the devil feared Jesus, because Jesus was going to clean the devil's clock. He was going to take everything that he had, everything that he had stolen, the people, the property, the real estate, everything that he had stolen, he was going to come and take it back. And so is BW. Because I'm not going to be deceived no more. But hold it, that's not the end of the story. Now understand, I've learned more now, and I'm not coming out on anybody if you're not there yet and you're still learning. But I'm just letting you have to know what happened to me. So I bought a Nova. Now wait a minute, nothing wrong with a Nova. But this one was old and rusted. The door handle on my side, sometimes I had to get out on the other side. Some of y'all come in here like that. And that's all right. That's all right. We working on you. We working on you. So I had to get out on the other side. Now understand, this is the day. And I had to get out. And that thing was rusted out. And it had smoke coming out of it. So I drove up in my building, in there with the guys, parked the car, the parking attendants drive. I'm driving. Hey, praise the Lord. I want you to say something now. Now, I'm just telling this story because I want my Corvette back. I'm putting the devil on notice. You owe me 7 Corvettes. Boy, let me tell you, that car wouldn't hardly start sometimes. I mean, here I was, you know, I'm trying to just live holy. Right. And that red wasn't holy. Now, I want y'all to hear this. And I'm certainly not making fun of me or anybody else. I'm just saying, we come from faith to faith. You know, we learn things.
That's good teaching, Doc.
But see, God can put you in Hollywood. Yes. Come on, because that's your gifting. But you're going to go out there and transform it. But he's got to sneak you in there. Come on. And then raise you up in there. Anybody seen my Corvette out there? What am I saying? True enough, we're trying to please God. And that's one of the beautiful things about it. But here's the deal. He said that if you, all these kingdoms will I give you. Every one of them. I'll give you Hollywood. I'll give you all those. If you'll worship me. What is worship? It's the price that you'll pay to get that kingdom. What price will you pay? So what is he trying to get Jesus to do? Compromise. What lie will you tell to get there? How many people will you go out and get drunk with to get there? How much reefer will you smoke? I'm bringing it home now. Y'all were laughing a minute ago. Are you following what I'm saying? No. The devil is the one. He takes people that he can manage and manipulate. Whether it be mafia bosses, political officials, some preachers. And try to put them at the top of that mountain.
Amen.
Why? To hold the mountain.
Amen.
And how can a man enter into a strong man's house unless he first binds the strong man?
Amen.
You're the only ones that can go up against Babylon.
Amen.
The devil, Pharaoh didn't want to know anything about Joseph's father or his brothers until Joseph solved his problem.
Amen.
That's right.
And they ain't going to want to know about your father until you solve their problem.
Amen.
I'm talking about on a mass scale. The enemy doesn't want you at the top of the mountain because you'll have all the influence. You'll convert the whole mountain. Y'all still happy? But we don't have to compromise. And the way you keep from compromising is to keep stay in faith. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. Now, let me tell you, God's teaching me some things, and I'm going to teach you.
Amen. Amen.
I watch when we were still trying to buy this bank. Somebody called and offered us $40 million. They give you $40 million. You just, but their condition is they will own most of it. Let me tell you, I said, I can't do it. There was somebody to call me from another state, a broker. He said, how many people do I know will turn down $40 million? I say, one, me. That's about it. Now, I'm not trying to aggrandize myself. I've come a long way, but because I'm walking in faith.
Amen.
See, because if you're not in faith, you can't be trusted.
Amen.
And there are people, they smile in my face. They smile in my face, no, I'm gonna take your place. A backstab. Y'all know some people like that. They're smiling in your face, but when the pressure comes on them, whoop, right in your back. Why? Because you're not in faith.
Yes.
And when you're not in faith, you're not hooked up with the Almighty Source. And boy, you got to stay there.
Yes.
Say amen to this.
Yes.
Those three Hebrews, the man said, hey, if you don't bow, you're going to burn.
Yes.
They said, hey, I know, King, we respect you and all of that, but the God that we serve, man, that's what you could say right there. When the physician gave you a bad, given you a bad report, what you could say, but the God that I serve. Hey, come on now. When the banker done told you, ain't no way we're going to get you out of this, but the God that I serve. Come on now. When somebody done turned their back on you and walked out of the house and left you with nothing, you say, the God that I serve, he will deliver me. That's what I'm talking about. Because when you got God on your side, you and God are a majority. Why? Because God is the judge. Why is he the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses. Yeah. Stole my Corvette. I'm still mad about it. Yeah, I'm still mad about it. But I got seven more coming back. Debt free. Paid in full. Different colors. One with stripe down the center. All right, let's go to one more place. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Now, what price are you willing to pay to get to the top? Because listen, whatever price you pay to get there, when you get to the top, that's going to control you.
Yes.
That's going to own you. So you may as well not give up any ground.
Amen.
Don't compromise a bit.
Yes.
Remember when Moses was leaving Egypt? Notice what Pharaoh did. He tried to get him to compromise three times. He said, hey, well, listen, we'll let you go. Why don't you let the kids stay here? Moses said, no, no, no deal. Well, we'll let you go. Let the women in. No deal. Just keep saying, no deal.
No deal. No deal.
Boy, I hear that right now in my spirit. No deal.
No deal.
Y'all still with me? Now, realize some people don't like this teaching. Wait, hold it. But let me show you them.
All right.
Turn over here with me to Romans. Romans chapter 3, please. I'm gonna show them to you. They're in the book. They are in the book. And I went on vacation. It took me a while on vacation to get myself together. But I'm together now. You got what I'm saying? Y'all with me? Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be what? True. Come on. And every man be a liar. See, he got on me. He said, son, now, wait a minute now. You believe for the mall to be paid off? I said, yes, sir. He said, now, why don't you use your faith? I said, well, I am. He said, no, you believing that they are going to help you pay it off. Now, they just might do that, but use your faith.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're trying to include their faith in your faith, some of them could be in unbelief. As a matter of fact, some of them don't even want you to get out of debt. It might be somebody hid in here right now that won't just, they don't want me to succeed at all. They're jealous, envious. So why don't you do this? Don't include them in it. Just use your faith. And if I put them in it, let me do that. But just use your faith. Boy, that freed me up. I said, Lord, have mercy. So I'm finding out nobody can stop you from getting to your promised land, your inheritance, but you. Nobody. Watch this. No relative. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm about to deal with you now. Come on. No husband. No wife. Come on now. Because we had come from Egypt, and that's a blaming generation. Watch this. No Republican. See what's happening, but nobody can stop you. Listen here, they can't stop me. Listen, man, y'all got to hear what I'm saying. He said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20 and 37. He said this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. He said, for by thy words, watch this, thou shalt be justified, watch this, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Watch what he didn't say. For by their words you shall be justified. And listen, I don't care what they say. It's by my words I'm going to be justified. It ain't by their words. They can talk about me like a dog, but I'm going over to the other side. Glory to God. Your mama can't stop you. Come on now. Come on. Racism can't stop you. Come on. Help me now. Come on now. See, you're busy trying to come up with something that'll stop you. But can't nothing stop you. If God be for you, can't nothing stop you. It's just making sense to you. This should be liberating for you. This stuff is yours. And it's extravagant. And it's got your name on it. if some did not believe?
Yeah.
That don't make no difference. No. By my words, I'm going to be set free. Not by your words. All right, let me just finish this real quick. Y'all with me? Okay, Mark chapter 4. Woo-wee. Verse 35. I won't read this, but I'll just tell you. Circumstances cannot do anything to me without my consent. The devil can't, because the Bible says, resist him and he'll flee. So I'm saying, take responsibility for yourself. Watch this. Take ownership over your life. Don't let the world whip you around, get you upset, control your moods, control your, you get under pressure. Well, I just had to get drunk. Well, now, wait. What mess is that? Man, you know, I'm saying, it's all because of no faith. And that's what I'm here to add to your life. I want to add the fact that no one can control your destiny but you. If you're not enjoying a full, rich life in Christ, don't blame other people. Don't blame your circumstances. Look in the mirror. You're the one. That's all I got.